Welcome to yet another edition of Hit the Target podcast, proudly brought to you by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Jesse Nagel, and I'm a sad host today because I get to see two teams well above the rest, two teams challenging on all fronts, two teams who I feel will be in the Champions League final, but luckily I'm not suffering alone. I do have in studio with me, as always, Joshua Gaylord, as well as Chadley Nagel, who makes his return. Gents, good to have you here.
Good to be here. Everything you said was true until Liverpool face Chelsea in the FA Cup final. At least they won't win a quadruple.
I'm confident.
I know when
confidence.
You said both the guys on the podcast are suffering. I didn't feel like I am, except as an Arsenal fan, no. But yeah, I'm excited for Liverpool and Man City are just the team or teams that seem unstoppable right now.
It's a weird one. I don't know how you feel, Chad, Josh as well. When Arsenal are playing at the same time as Liverpool or Manchester City, you almost have the option of good football or your team playing. Well, that's just how I feel, because sometimes Arsenal have sort of played out to stink a fixture, or maybe Chelsea have. Chelsea, in fact, haven't looked as easing on the players as they were early on in the season, so maybe you feel the same way. But when you watch Liverpool and Manchester City now, you see why the two teams are so well above the rest.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they both have unique styles that actually coincidentally like clash against one another a little bit. You know, that high line gets to be that normally presses other teams. Man City play well out from the back in that regard, and they can get past City on occasion with that. So both teams bring a unique set of style to the game that's excellent to watch. I mean, but I don't, as you mentioned in the beginning of your statements, I don't even consider watching Liverpool
not
or Arsenal play. Not even second guessing.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think these two teams have definitely been the best teams in the Premier, not just the Premier League, probably in Europe this season. I think we all expected Man City to be this unstoppable force that they are. It's just continuity every season. They just... they always, you know, there's always talk of a quadruple or a treble at least when City are involved every season. I think we had our question marks more about Liverpool because of the season they had last season. They had a couple of injuries to some key players, and I think we kind of looked past that and we just looked at their form instead of probably being more understanding towards the fact that when you lose key players, certain key players, then, you know, it's always going to be difficult to chase, especially a team like Manchester City. I think Chelsea, just to add Chelsea in the picture, is like kind of Liverpool last season. Because I do believe that we have a squad capable, we have a manager capable, but I think injuries to key players, you only know it when it happens to your team, I guess. So, yeah, these two teams have been the best teams in world football at the moment, and to agree with you, they'll probably be in the Champions League final.
Yeah, luckily there's no battle of the remotes this weekend, because Liverpool start today and then Manchester City ended well in terms of how Saturday's day is looking. We'll start with the opening fixture of the Premier League weekend, Newcastle, who have looked exceptional. Eddie Howe, what he's done to this team is incredible. I know he's brought in Bruno Guimaraes, he's brought in Dan Burn at the back, changed the system, got the players playing just the way they need to play. Put Joe Linton in centre midfield, which for me is like something no one does, not even on FIFA. So credit to him as well, but now they face...
Sounds like a Mourinho move.
Yeah, it does. It's a bit leggy and, you know. But yeah, now they face like possibly the best team in the world. Josh?
Yeah, I think Newcastle have been excellent, especially at home. I think there's like 11 fixtures or 8 fixtures or something along those lines, unbeaten at the moment. But like we've just been ranting and raving about Liverpool, I mean, they know how to break down a team. I think that Newcastle, they show great consistency in keeping their lines rigid, keeping things tight at the back. I mean, not so long ago, one of the fixtures I saw, you just mentioned Dan Burn, who's been excellent for Newcastle. One simple mistake and he was like beating himself up about it. I mean, Eddie Howe's got them in the right frame of mind. And then the tunes they have, the fan base that they have is massive. I mean, okay, it even boiled down over in South Africa. So I think I made a post not so long ago, as soon as Newcastle got their new owners, some guy was on Super Sports, and we all just joke about it and say, oh, you know, but
it's already started.
Lo and behold, it came across, like, out of so much, it came that this guy's been supporting Newcastle for the longest of times, like maybe over 10 years or something like that. So they have a great fan base. They're playing excellent football. They've got the backing. They've shown it this season that even they didn't spend ridiculously like I thought, like me personally thought they would.
They've spent it wisely.
They spent it very wisely.
Yeah.
And then they've shown the form that they can. I think there'll be a lot more interest in the next transfer window. But in terms of this fixture, I really can't see Liverpool dropping points here. Mm. Everything's on the line for them. For me, the questionable thing, like Chad said earlier, they've got lots of injuries last season. But at the same time, they've brought in a couple of players that can fill the system that Klopp has put in at Liverpool. I mean, they had to fill in with Minamino last season. This season, we haven't even heard of him, you know. They've brought in some excellent players, and they're playing excellent football. I can't see them dropping points. Newcastle, I have to get on Liverpool, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose a nice thing for Liverpool, I hate to use the word nice, but it does seem nice at this point for Liverpool, is that they've done what they needed to do against Villarreal in midweek. So they don't have that second leg of Champions League football to really, you know, focus on a sweat on Thursday. Saturday can just be about Saturday, and it's just Newcastle on their mind, and it's so hard, like Josh said, to look past Liverpool.
Well,
oh, there we go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound silly, but I actually can see Liverpool dropping points, and that's not anything on them, because they are well coached, professional, well classed team. They've got the players, the best players in the world, arguably the best coach in the world, definitely top two. But I just think that Newcastle, the reason I say it's not a certainty that they are guaranteed to get maximum points here, is just purely because of Newcastle, and they've been fantastic. In fact, I think I read a stat saying in 2022, only Liverpool have collected more points than them, and it wasn't by much.
So that could be over 10 this weekend.
Newcastle have been excellent. They've been in good form. Bruno has been exceptional. What a talent. They're just a team with a lot of fight in them. It's not just the quality, because they have become a ball playing team. They can pass, but they can switch it up. They can play untidy. They can play, aggressive, ruthless, Atletico like style of football. And I just think eventually, you know, Liverpool have been playing at a high intensity. It does eventually kick in, you feel it, you know, especially this stage of the season, especially coming to St. James's Park. I think if they win, nothing shocks me. It's like Liverpool, but I just think they have to be at their best. They need to bring their A game. And I just think there's something, there could be a potential upset here. I don't want to be that bold and just say Newcastle win, but I think a draw.
So, Josh, this is what happens when you're without your co-panelist.
without Don, we just get some Liverpool slander. No, Newcastle, I agree with Chad.
This whole early kickoff thing that Donovan likes to feed us, was maybe Chad buying into that too much.
I'm actually not for the early kickoff.
Yeah, I think Chad's definitely buying into the early kickoff.
Haven't had lunch yet, and, you know, the mind isn't focused. But yeah, no, Newcastle, look, I get what Chad's saying. They have been impressive. They've impressed me. But it's just that the two teams, I feel like no matter how good the rest are, when those two teams are at it, then it's just a different ballgame. And I forgot who I said this to, and sorry for not shouting out your name, but I did say Liverpool and Manchester City will win every game from now until the end of the season. And the only time they won't win a game is when they play each other, whether it
one has to lose
in the Champions League final or whether it's whatever tournament it is. But two teams, I can confidently say, will win every single game from now until the end of the season. Man City will even win in Madrid, I feel.
Look, I think it's like I've heard some examples of when there's a heavyweight champion in the world. Sometimes you just have to accept the fact that this team right now...
That guy's got a swing.
You have to... For this period that you trained your whole life for, you worked your hardest for, you just... You have to look at them and say, okay, I'm not getting
over
them.
That's how we see it. And I do understand that comment. And that's time, how we see
yes,
it.
Yes, their time will come where they'll regress again. There's always a cycle. But right now, they are in that kind of form where you cannot touch them. I don't like seeing it that way. Yeah. I support another team.
Yeah.
But so that's then the conversation reality. Extends to this team is chasing the quadruple. Crazy. They've already got one trophy in their cabinets already this season. They've won the Champions League. They've won the Premier League not so long ago. They've set boundaries never set before. That 97 or 98 points was just crazy, and to still finish second. So are we not seeing the best title race of Premier League history? That's a long
pause. Because we don't want
not wanting to admit it. I mean, sure, do I like both of these clubs? No. But like, credit where credit's due, though. But I growing up, I remember the Arsenal-Man United battles. It was like you'd flick a coin who you'd think was going to win the league. I remember Chelsea, Manchester United was that close. They were great. Even the Man City, Man United. It's just been. I don't think we're seeing something new yet. Obviously, two of those teams quadruple talk. That is an extreme. But I think this. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is the first season ever where we're even entertaining Liverpool quadruple talk.
We normally
laugh it down.
Well,
any
team, actually.
Like Man City normally.
Yeah,
they've
done some treble.
Yeah, they. But like.
Oh yes, quite
this is, this is the first time we ever acknowledge Liverpool even being in the hunt for quadruple. So for me, no, but definitely in the mix. Just to go back on what Josh said, I do think, I know we're talking a lot about this game, but I really think, you know, like I get what you're saying, like, you know, sometimes you have to just accept these guys, this is a powerhouse, you know, we just need to kind of play to our strengths here, or like just make up for, where we can't match them in quality, make up for hard work, running around. I just think Newcastle are fearless. They don't respect teams that they should, and this is why they've shooted themselves back into the top half. Like we were saying a couple of months back, we were saying easy relegated. So you know they have a lot of fight in them. They punch above their weight. I think if Liverpool come expecting just to take points, like they were quite lucky against Everton, and you know, and Newcastle are much better against.
I think Everton put in a good, like we said, a runaround performance, like you just mentioned now. Some teams go in and they just do what they have to do to get through the 90 minutes. I think Everton kind of did that. We joked with Don last week on the podcast about being the most one-sided derby ever. Yeah. And when we saw the stats after the fixture, what was the possession? It was a new record for the Premier League.
I actually believe they have more wins in the Premier League than in the Champions League than Everton have wins in the league.
Yeah, and Thiago got more passes than the whole team put together. So that was a pretty one-sided derby, as we said.
Thiago's stats.
That is a pretty one-sided derby. Look, I understand what you're saying, Chad. Like, in every game you go into, you want to have your identity. You don't want to just regress and say, okay, let's do what we can to beat this team only. That's what I've liked about Arteta this season with Arsenal. He hasn't gone into, like when he went into the game with Liverpool, when he went to the red card, you have to do what you have to do. One of the fixtures, he came out and he played his style like Villarreal kind of tried to in the first half against Liverpool in the Champions League. They tried to play out from the back. But at some point, your confidence just shatters.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened when you play Liverpool and when you play Man City. And
Liverpool just need that one
moment, and then they capitalize on that, and that's when they run through the whole fixture.
You know, in midweek, Josh just refreshed my memory. When it was deadlocked and no, I thought, Villarreal got a chance here. And then the longer it dragged, I thought, okay, actually, Villarreal could be playing Manchester City or Real Madrid in the final. Maybe it could get to that. I started, you know, thinking absurdly, but as soon as Liverpool got that goal, and it took a header from the opposing goalkeeper, and as soon as Jordan Henderson put the ball in the back of the net, Liverpool could have went on to win 2, 3, 4, 5. Every attack just seemed like whatever Villarreal had planned that week had just gone out the window. And that's when teams are so superior to you that you know it. I feel like Newcastle know it, that they can be as good as they can be, but Liverpool are just so far ahead that no matter what they do, it's just as soon as Liverpool score, it's going to become 2, 3.
Well, look, I think that the fact that we've just discussed this for so long just shows how good Newcastle have been this season.
Yeah. Yes. Let's talk about, I can't even say Liverpool's rival. It's just the other juggernauts. Manchester City, of course, they face Leeds in, you know, the end of the day on Saturday, ending of the month of April in, I don't know, I think it's going to be fine fashion. I know they've got Real Madrid to look forward to as well, but Man City have the depth that will, I just, again, it's so hard
best
to even,
depth in the world.
It's so hard to even like preview this game and try and hype it up, because Manchester City, if they don't win 3 or 4, I'm gutted.
I think we saw,
sound like an Arsenal fan.
We saw against Real Madrid, and I think, I almost compared Real Madrid to Leeds because they still went for the game at the end of the day. They still tried to play their game. Like we know Leeds to be, okay, maybe under Bielsa it was more that way, and Chelsea is slightly different. I think that Leeds might still try and go for the game. And they have a little bit of quality. I mean, Rafinha still brings his A game whenever he's on the field. But again, it's Man City at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They will, more so than Liverpool do, they will know how to manage the game. It didn't show against Real Madrid.
Yeah.
I think they struggled to manage the game, and we saw the frustration on Pep's face and in his actions. I think that maybe Man City, even if they do, well, they more than likely will rotate the squad here. Like we said, the depth is just too much. They always replace the best with the best. I think we were talking in the office the other day.
With Jesus just came out of nowhere.
Yes.
And well, bagging he's
calling another club in London.
We're talking about Fernandinho.
Yes, so Fernandinho is looking to, obviously, they're not going to renew his contract. He's leaving soon. And then it was, Declan Rice is the rumour at the moment. And to, you're thinking, okay, they've got Rodri, Rodri is colossal.
He's got the physicality.
Yeah. He's got the ball playing mindset. You know, he's got everything. Yeah. And then you
one
want
of the
to
best in his position in world football.
Want to put Declan Rice, who, in my opinion, will sit on the bench, and you're going to pay upwards of 100 million
for him. Should be everyone's opinion.
So when you think of things like that, and it's coming up against Leeds, okay, yes, they kind of in a relegation battle. I still see City running through them.
I
think they're very much in a relegation battle. You know, I think they've missed Phillips and Bamford this season, and I think this is probably why they've been so low. I do think they overachieved somewhat last season. Bielsa was found out. I think
you've been quite vocal from the start.
I get that. We, as football fanatics, we want to be entertained. We want attack, all-out attack football matches. We want to see that. And Leeds do give you that. They give you goals. But I just think they are naive at times. You know, it's too many, like they push too many forward. And for a professional team, it's just really reckless and it's just like, oh, it's almost arrogance, the cockiness of like really giving it a go look, they are a good team, when they are on it. They can cause upsets. This just isn't the one. this should be a comfortable victory, a convincing win for Man City. I just think they have so much quality. Just to talk about the Champions League game, I know it's a different podcast, but I don't think that tie is over. And so I still think, you know, with you leading the race, you know, you have to put out your strongest team. And I know they have quality in But I don't see them making too many changes. I just think they'll get the job done. They'll be rampant as they always are, and 3 points meant.
You say leading the race. Sorry, Josh. You say leading the race, but based on how you see Saturday going, Man City plays second and they could play with the game in hand and still be the leaders of the Premier League.
Yeah, I
didn't think that one.
No, they are the leaders.
Yeah.
And they, for me,
is it beneficial that Liverpool play first and they can sort of. So Pep Guardiola's got more time with his lineup. Mahrez is a top goal scorer. Foden is the brightest talent. De Bruyne needs to be wrapped in cotton wool for next week, midweek.
But that's the thing. I think regardless, I think they're going to look at, obviously, I don't think they look at Liverpool. Let's just say that I get my wild prediction right and Liverpool drop points. I don't see, Pep Guardiola is not that manager. I don't see them looking at that and be like, okay, we can afford kind of a slip up or we can. He'll want to like stretch the lead, extend it. So it's for that reason. Look, we can probably. We'll debate about this, but I think Man City win the league. I just think in this position and Liverpool are fantastic, but I just think just because they're in this position with just a few games, they'll never bottle it. They'll never throw it away. And I just think regardless of Liverpool potentially dropping points this weekend, Man City will still look to extend that.
Josh, you wanted to say something?
Look, I think that just to add a little bit of what Chad said about Pep, I think he's got that. We saw when I think the second goal, the third goal, or one of the goals for Real Madrid in the midweek. When City missed one of the opportunities, and that I think was to go 3-0 up. I think it was.
Yeah.
He was furious, you know. So I think even with City playing second, maybe feeling that bit of comfort there, for him, he doesn't want his players to feel comfort. Even if you're leading by however many points they were in the beginning of the season, he'll still push. And even in a simple fixture, he'll still push the team through to their limits. But to say the same, I just want to give Leeds a bit of a, not a chance, but
not no hope.
Yes, we know they go for goals and goals and goals, but when we saw them against Crystal Palace, okay, it wasn't the best of fixtures to watch. Crystal Palace should have won that fixture as well. But they like Chad said, they normally attack. They showed a bit of defensive mentality, maybe trying to manage certain situations in games. So I think they have that a bit more in them now. Maybe Marsh is putting that in them a bit more. Maybe they can grind out something with Man City in that regard, and not 3-4, 5-0, but just lose by 2-0, a comfortable loss.
I like that headline, Jesse Marsh pushing Leeds, Jesse Nagel pushing agendas. Sunday's all about the top four. We've got just about enough time to discuss it. Everton against Chelsea, Chad, quickly with this one. Frank Lampard obviously welcomes you can't say former employers because he welcomes the club where he became Frank Lampard. I know there's obviously a home affair somewhere in London, but this is where, you know, he became who he is, and now he gets to host
Chelsea. The club he manages against his club. I think it's...
Nice, there's your headline there.
No, I just think Everton, you know, it's easy to look at form. It's easy to look at position and standings on the log, and we can say, look, Everton in the bottom three, surely Chelsea are third in the league table, surely this should be, Chelsea should make
quite
easy
a good record, don't they, against Chelsea?
They've had some positive results, mainly at Goodison Park. I think Lampard will certainly, I don't think he has any ill feelings towards Chelsea, but I think he'll certainly want to have a point to prove against them, just to make them think about, you know, like Rod. I think that everyone knows that Chelsea made the right decision because of Thomas Tuchel. But I think he will still want to show something, like, you know, and I think everyone has that playing against. I think about just myself, even playing football against teams that I played against, you're just always extra motivated. You feel like you know the team well enough to not make as many mistakes, to be well prepared. You know their strengths, you know their weaknesses, and I just think I'd love to be wrong here, but I think I know you said quickly. I just think Everton probably. This is another potential upset of the weekend. I think Everton, I mean, I wouldn't say put everything on it, but like if you want to take a treble to just like a value treble, I just think Everton.
Chelsea do look like they're rotating.
They're very
upgraded from now until the
very inconsistent. Yeah. And I think we'll see the Chelsea Chelsea we know and expect them to be. Like we've seen against them, with them against every Liverpool fixture, will be again in the FA Cup final. But I'll back Everton, yeah.
A bit controversial, Josh. Mason Mount, would you start him if you were Thomas Tuchel? Of course, Frank Lampard, took him to Derby, gave him his career at Chelsea, made him somewhat the player he is today. Now, it's always tricky in situations like this because when you come up against a coach who's done everything for you and, basically birthed him as a footballer, it's crazy because
that's a bit extreme.
It's crazy because as Thomas Tuchel, I'm thinking I'll give another player a go in that position. I know Mason Mount has been my top scorer for Chelsea, probably player of the year for them as well. I'd give someone else a go just in this fixture because of the emotion.
I don't see anyone filling that spot at the moment for Chelsea. I think
Captain America scored last week. I mean,
I think Pulisic works better off the bench, in my opinion. He needs a moment to like prove himself for a good couple 20 minutes to prove himself, and then he gets the job done. But no, Mount starts. Mm-hmm. I think Tuchel starts Mount as well. Not just my opinion. I think he does as well. Mm. At the same time, I think Mount is there. He wants to also like say, hey, Dad. I did it, even though it might relegate Everton, you might want to say...
That's the thing, you wouldn't want to. I feel, like, I don't know, it's just...
No, you're playing for your club, you want your, like Chad just mentioned, any kind of tie with another club, yes, he might not celebrate the way that he wants to, or rather, he will celebrate respectfully, because I think he can get on the score sheets as well. I think the front line...
If he plays, he scores, I feel.
Yes, I think the front line...
The front three is going to be the same every week for me until the end of the season.
The front line, obviously, Chelsea have had their chopping and changing with a bit of an issue, but Mount, Vern and Havertz up front is the way to go, I think, and Mount is the goal.
Former club, what's going on here?
Lukaku won't play against Man United and Lukaku won't play against Everton. Yeah. It's just the way that it is.
I wonder if he's still the record goal scorer, actually.
He is. Yeah. Everton. Oh.
Everton's record goal scorer, yes.
Yeah. It's like Eto's, Mallorca's all-time top scorer.
From a betting aspect, I think that Everton do score in this game. I think that Chelsea do score in this game.
About teams to score.
It's about, I think it's 85 cents or so. That's my play for
Pretty
this fixture.
Fancy. This is a podcast about football, not fencing. Josh, now let's obviously throw something on the table. The race for the top four, of course. Spurs kick off against Leicester at the same time as the Chelsea game, so we know where our attention's at. And then later, of course, West Ham entertain Arsenal in the London derby. Of course, they've got the all mix up with Conference League or Europa League or one of the Thursday tournaments that take place. I don't even keep track anymore. They have that to juggle with as well as the top four race. So we saw West Ham last week tinker with their lineup and obviously holding on for a certain amount of time, but then obviously letting their stalemate slip to a 1-0 defeat against Chelsea. And then Leicester sort of impressing. They've also got the whole Thursday whatever league it is, Europa or Conference or Men's Conference, whatever
the tournaments are picking up.
Whatever they're attending on it does is obviously now taken into consideration because they don't have much to play for in the league. So, doubleheader, Spurs against Leicester, as well as West Ham against Arsenal.
Okay, firstly, Tottenham. I think against Leicester have a chance. I think with Vardy back...
They
can afford to rotate. Patson Duck is not a slouch himself. He's quick. He has a good eye for goal.
Sunday.
Either or, really. I think Tottenham, we saw them against Brentford, they were supposed to lose that game. I think Ivan Toney was unlucky hitting the bar late in the fixture, and there were other chances that Brentford have they managed to create as well. I think even in the previous fixture that Tottenham had, when they faced a team that were playing a bit more of a possession-based game, Brighton did it well. Obviously, we know how Brentford played; they did it well. When it comes to Leicester, I'm not too sure. They really upset me in their reverse fixture. What was it, like 3 minutes? They ended up losing the game. Yeah,
Bergwijn.
I mean, come on.
Bergwijn at the death.
Yeah. So I think both of these teams have that thing where they can just slip up in a pick. They can look excellent till 1 point, and they can quickly just like slip up or lose the game within a flash, you know?
Yeah.
I can't really pick a winner. Yeah, I think it will probably be a draw.
Between Leicester and Tottenham,
yes. The deciding game for top four, it's just like written in the stars.
That's the thing. You think it will get to that because if Leicester manage to get something against Tottenham and Arsenal, win against Spurs then play Liverpool, which I said at the top of this podcast, Liverpool will win all their games, being Tottenham. So I feel if Tottenham do not win this weekend and Arsenal do, that's Champions League spots. You can put us in the pool and get Manish or one of the...
You see why I say that? Why I say it still comes down to that Arsenal versus Tottenham fixture. Arsenal have a tendency to also slip up. We saw the previous three... Okay, we looked excellent against United. We looked excellent against Chelsea. But those other fixtures, the previous games, when you're favourites, it just doesn't seem to work out, you know? So they also have that tendency. That's why we'll touch on Arsenal a bit more. I'd really like to hear Chad's idea of Tottenham and Leicester.
Yeah, well, I'm probably going to upset you Arsenal supporters here, but I really don't see Tottenham dropping points. I think I'd honestly love them to. Because I don't like Spurs at all, but I can't see it happening. I think if this game was at the King Power, then I'd be like, I'd say Foxes double chance or something. I just think Antonio Conte at home, like, you know, you'll drive the crowd like he always does, get them hyped up. The players will be fired up. They know Arsenal's Arsenal's above them, actually. They'll know that they can't afford any more slip-ups. And, you know, they're going to want to claim maximum points. I think they do. I think they do it quite comfortably, actually.
Yeah, that's... I think I was saying this a couple of weeks ago when Patrick Vieira did what he did to Arsenal with Crystal Palace's, that Patrick Vieira, in a way, did Arsenal a favour. Yes, he smacked us around like he shouldn't be smacking 12-year-olds, almost in that. But... depends what type of school you're in. No, so Patrick Vieira slapped Arsenal around like, you know, like something.
Like it was reform school.
So he did that, and, you know, it didn't seem... It was very unkindly at first, but then when you start to look at it and try to dig up positives from a negative situation, you realize that Tottenham are not good leaders. Tottenham are good chasers, and... That's the thing with, you know, Liverpool, when they went ahead early on in the season or whenever it was, where it was a three-horse race between Chelsea was still in the mix and Chelsea were leading the way for a while, and then Liverpool sort of, you know, rubbed shoulders with them at the top. City are good chasers and City are good leaders. City can play first or they can play last. It doesn't really depend on that. So Tottenham, for them, they need to chase something. And the fact that they're playing first... Now, I do know that Arsenal are currently ahead of them, but it's just that unknown that no matter what we do, if Arsenal win just now, they still go above us. And that's where I feel like, you know, some nerves could creep in. And Leicester are fearless. I think the way we spoke about Newcastle earlier is also what we have to do to Leicester, not because I'm pushing any agendas, but it's very similar in a way because the fight and tenacity that they show is very Fox-like. And you can see that Brendan Rodgers can leave today and Eddie Howe can replace him and nothing will change. It's that same young sort of tactic that, I don't know, it's just such a similar brand of football. If Spurs were playing Newcastle now, I don't know where I'm getting the Newcastle reference from, but if Spurs were playing Newcastle now, I'd back Newcastle. Same with Leicester. Regardless if Leicester played on Friday instead of Thursday, I'd still back Leicester just to get something. maybe it's an agenda again. I have no idea. But, yeah, in saying that, I'm also confident about Arsenal.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely confident about Arsenal this weekend against West Ham. Even at the London Stadium, I think West Ham are fully focused on...
Even on the beach, like we can play like three a side in like Mall of Africa or something.
I think Arsenal have more Brazilian players, so they definitely do well on the beach. I think, for me, I think Arsenal get the win. I'm not saying easy win. We have young players. We have mistakes in them. I've been saying this. I think Arsenal have mistakes in them. But I think purely based on West Ham diminishing their squad, I mean, we saw Declan Rice started on the bench.
Antonio,
Lanzini, all like players who you need to win the fixture as a West Ham side, they all took a break, R&R, and they will play again on Thursday. Yes, Moyes is done an excellent job. I mean, would have thought that West Ham would be challenging for a trophy. I think I did the preview for the Thursday night fixture. They haven't won a European trophy since 1906. Anyway, before we were all born.
Someone else was like in charge of something.
And I think that they're in an excellent place right now. But the folk they don't have the squad to stretch across two tournaments or two competitions. And purely based on that fact, as well as Arsenal are playing excellently, they're in a good run of form. You beat two rivals within the space of a week. I think they come into this game full of confidence.
One and a half.
And then, as well as the bringing Mohamed Elneny back in has been excellent. I think he's been allowing Xhaka to get into the role that he's been playing the whole season. I think winning that midfield battle against some without Declan Rice, it will be a bit easier. And if we can control the situations in the game in that regard, we get the Arsenal get the win. Yeah.
Sunday
again, I'm gonna upset you guys.
So no. Tottenham win.
when does Donovan get?
No, honestly, I'm a little bit surprised that y'all are so confident. I mean, even wanting to play them on the beach. But because I just think, look, I'm not gonna be as bold as I was like for the Liverpool fixture. And so I can definitely see Newcastle getting something. I think lineup is key. I somewhat think that David Moyes puts out a much stronger team. I really think he does you got to look like top seven are the European places. He's got Wolves breathing down their necks in eighth place, and they 3 points 3 points behind with the game having played a game less than West Ham. So I think that the league they still need to secure a high finish, and I just think he might look at Arsenal and think, look, we can get a result against them, especially at the London Stadium. Obviously, you'll have one eye on the other European fixture, but I still think that you'll put out a stronger team. I think just wait for the lineups. I'd tell our listeners to wait for the lineups to see before taking a bet on this game. But I wouldn't be too confident. I think if I have to call an upset, I'd say a draw. I still think the Tottenham Arsenal game will be the decider though for the fourth spot.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like that was so much rubbish in 2 minutes. I don't know. I just feel like I'm so confident. Like, how do you back against this Arsenal team? Like, we're gonna score three. But anyway, that's just me.
I remember you were confident against Palace. I remember. You were very confident. You were buzzing.
Is that on record somewhere?
Yes, I have to agree. At one point, I even tried to bring you down a bit.
Yeah, you were saying we're going for third and stuff like that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh,
look,
yes.
I mean,
first
okay.
Sounded like...
Chad, I agree with you. Maybe the listeners should listen for the lineups first. We know what Arsenal's lineup is going to be with the injury and the stuff that we currently have.
Yeah, somebody else is back. That's the thing. Like, we think of lineups, and I feel like we're stronger than what we were last week.
Yes, definitely. That's what I'm saying. Even with the reintroduction with Elneny, it gives Xhaka that role that he's been instructed to by Arteta the whole season. He's playing a little bit more high up the pitch. He's winning the ball a little bit more high up the pitch, and it's allowing the team to stay in that place. And for West Ham, we saw what they brought against Chelsea in terms of the lineup. I don't think that that changes, especially
with I think they get weaker.
I think they get weaker, especially
depending on what they need to overturn and stuff.
Yes, especially with the us playing in between those two fixtures. They played Chelsea just before with the game in between. It really changes everything. And then we also one of the, their back line has been mutilated by injuries. It's and Kurt Zuma, it's Issa Diop.
Now Dawson can't play.
Dawson can't play against us as well, so he'll definitely play on both Thursdays. He can't play against us. That back line is done for. If they do, Declan Rice will probably play in the back line, and then it's a bit more free reign for Arsenal to attack them high up the pitch. So when we look at lineups, even before the listeners might want to see West Ham's tweet, it's Arsenal.
I'm saying take your Friday, Saturday multiples into this game. But anyway, that's, again, confidence. David Moyes, count your losses. It's one of those fixtures. Gentlemen, that's all we do have time for. Of course, we have touched on the Premier League title race, how great these two teams are, how far away from the rest these two teams are, and Chelsea with a fully fit squad will get there next season, according to Chad. As well as the top four race we did touch on. So, gentlemen, as always, it's been such a pleasure. Any last words from your end, Chad?
Well, I just think it should be great game week of football. I'm really looking forward to Sunday. Some three matches there that I think will be very much entertaining.
So, eyes off the title race and onto the top four race for Chad. Assuming the same.
Well, there's some big value if Newcastle get a draw. There's some big value if West Ham get a win. You know,
If Everton win. I've gone quite bold.
So I think the punters out there, good luck this weekend. As the last, five fixtures of the season for each team, let's enjoy the football.
Until next week then.
Cheers.
May the fourth be with you.